The reading from the prologue from Ohrid, April 7th. On this day we commemorate St. George the Confessor. For his great virtues, which he acquired through long asceticism, George was chosen and installed as Metropolitan of Mytilene. And this saint governed his flock with zeal and wisdom to old age. But when a persecution arose under Leo V, the Armenian, who destroyed the holy icons, this holy elder was summoned by the emperor to Constantinople, to the council of bishops, which was summoned at the emperor's desire to put a stop to the veneration of icons. But George not only refused to act according to the emperor's desire, he, together with some other courageous bishops, stood up in defense of the holy icons. For this he was held in derision by the emperor and exiled to the region of Cherson, where, in physical pain and every sort of need, he spent the remainder of his earthly life. He died and went to immortal life in about 816. He was a wonder worker both during his life and after his death, through his great righteousness and love for the Lord Jesus. On this day, we also commemorate our Holy Father, Neil Sorsky. One of the great fathers of the Russian Church, he was the founder of the monastic skete way of life in Russia. He died peacefully in 1508, and his relics are preserved in the monastery at Sora. His rule of life in the skeets presents a spiritual and pragmatic work of the first order. We also commemorate on this day the holy martyr Calliopas. The only son obtained from God with tears of a senator of Perga in Pamphylia. His devout mother, Theoclia, taught him veneration of God and purity of life at an early age. Calliopas was still very young when a terrible persecution arose under the emperor Maximian. To save him from death, his mother put him into a ship, gave him a sufficient sum of money, and sent him off to the city of Pompeiopolis. But things turned out differently by the providence of God. Disembarking at Pompeiopolis, Calliopas walked straight into some tumultuous pantheistic celebration. When he, in the press of the crazed mob, refused to take part in that senseless feast, he was brought to the commander, Maximus, to whom he confessed that he was a Christian. The commander ordered that he be beaten with iron staves, burned by fire, and finally wounded all over, thrown into prison. Hearing of the torture of her son, his mother Theoclia gave away all her goods to the poor and needy, and with a small sum of money, hurried to her son's prison. Entering the prison, she bowed to her son and bound up his wounds. Finally, the commander pronounced the sentence that Calliopas be crucified. Joy and anguish were mingled together in his mother's heart. When they led her son to the place of execution, she passed the executioner 5 gold pieces to crucify her son, not like the Lord, but upside down. This she did from humility towards the Lord. Calliopas was crucified upside down on Holy Thursday, and his mother stood below the cross giving thanks to God. When they took his dead body down from the cross the next day, she fell on it and breathed her last. Thus these two went to stand before the throne of the King of Glory. They suffered with honor in 304. We also commemorate our Holy Father Daniel of Pereyaslavl. He had as his special asceticism the care of the dead. Whenever he heard that someone had frozen to death or died in some other way, he hurried to give him burial and pray to God for him. He died peacefully in 1540. His healing relics are preserved to this day. We also commemorate our Holy Father Gregory the Sinite, a great saint and ascetic of Sinai and Athos. He's also commemorated on August 8th. For consideration, those in spiritual authority must be careful to differentiate between themselves and those under them, as a shepherd must be between himself and his sheep. So speaks St. Isidore of Pelusium, interpreting the first epistle to Timothy. The life of a priest always serves as an example, whether for good or for ill. By a good life, a priest confirms the gospel and denies it by a bad one. No one else is in such a position to confirm or deny the gospel as is a priest by his life. A good priest is differentiated by his actions from a bad priest, no less than a shepherd from a wolf. Therefore, the portion of the good priest will be with the sons of God, and that of the bad with the wild beasts in darkness. Good shepherds of the church, even at the moment of their last breath, were concerned for the flock that they were leaving behind them. On his deathbed, St. Joseph the hymnographer prayed to God, "Defend thy flock, O Son of God, and protect all the works of thy hands to the end of time. Be thou a helper of the beloved sons of thy church. Give to thy bride, the Holy Church, eternal peace and stormless quiet." And St. Antipas, burning in a red-hot copper ox, prayed to God, "Not for myself alone, but for those who will, after me, become partakers of thy mercy." To ponder, let me ponder on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. First, how the myrrh-bearing women drew near to the tomb to anoint him who is the fresh fragrance of heaven and earth. And second, how the angel revealed the resurrection of the Lord to them, saying, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" Homily on the seeking of the living among the dead. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Luke 24:5. The angel of God asks the myrrh-bearing women, as if in wonder, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" This witness of God and his power was seeming to say, "How could you for one moment imagine that he could be death's booty? Do you not know that he is the source of life? Do you not know that all life is through him, and that no living creature can borrow a single drop of life from any other source? Did he not show you clearly enough on earth his power over life and over death? Who gave life to the dead Lazarus? Who withdrew life from the barren fig tree? Oh, my brethren, let us stop seeking the living among the dead. If any of us is still doing so, let him stop this soul-destroying task. It is a vain task, one for Jews and pagans, not for Christians. We know that the Lord, the giver of life, is not in the tomb, but on his throne of glory in heaven. A spirit undimmed by sin looks into the heavens and sees no tomb, but a spirit darkened by sin looks into the tomb and sees no heavens. Sin and virtue both govern the spiritual sight of a man and reveal to him the whole of their realms. Held in opposition one to the other, sin turns the eyes of the spirit earthward and reveals the realm of corruption. Virtue turns the eyes of the spirit heavenwards and reveals the realm of immortality and the risen Christ as the king of that realm. O my brethren, let us seek life, not of creation, but of the Creator, and let us not commit the even graver sin of seeking the Creator in the created tomb or the radiant immortal one in the darkness of death. O Lord Jesus, thou conqueror of death, we sing to thee, raise us also up to eternal life from the corruption and darkness of death. To thee be glory and praise forever. Amen.